The world entirely is at war.
Troops waiting for the zero hour.
This is D-Day.
From Radio America and the American Veterans Center, this is Veterans Chronicles. For the next hour, an honored roster of heroic soldiers, sailors, and fighting aviators recall and retell their personal stories, serving our nation in times of war. And now, Veterans Chronicles.
Colonel Susan Luz, the highest-ranking female member of the 399th Combat Support Hospital, an Army Reserve unit, served as a public health nurse in Iraq during the surge. In her recent book, The Nightingale of Mosul, she talks about a life of service and her time in Iraq. Today, in her own words, she retells her story of hardship and triumph.
I never was active duty. I've been a reservist all my life. But growing up, my father was a World War II veteran under General George Patton. He was awarded Silver Star and Purple Heart. And he was my hero. And when I got out of college at the University of Rhode Island in 1972, I wanted to be an Army nurse. But unfortunately, my father said no. That was it. The Irish dad said no. And I went off to South America with the Peace Corps, always wanting to be an Army nurse. I graduated in nursing, and I became a nurse midwife. I worked in the inner cities, towns of Brazil, and it was a most wonderful experience. They say the best job you'll ever have. I had the most wonderful parents and my oldest sister and two brothers, and we were always taught hard work. You know, always finish what you started. And in Brazil, I went off there, and my father said he didn't want me to go to a war zone, but yet I had a traumatic incident where I was attacked through no fault of my own. I was with a young boy going through the town, just going off to another mission, a mini postal. I was attacked, and I decided after spending some time in the hospital and recuperating from my wounds, I wanted to continue what I did in the Peace Corps with my best friend Donna, who joined the Peace Corps with me, and that's why instead of 2 years with the Peace Corps, I stayed 2.5 years until my job was completed. But that was from, you know, going to an all-girls Catholic school and what I learned from my parents, that you always hard work and always complete the mission.
After her time in the Peace Corps, Colonel Luz struggled to find direction before taking on another mission to serve.
I came home and I got my master's in public health nursing, community health nursing. And at the time when I was in the Peace Corps, I went on the ship Hope. It was a big floating hospital ship. And it was nurses and doctors, and they were doing pretty much the same thing as Peace Corps volunteers, working with the poor. And I said, I want to do that when I come back with my master's degree, and I can really do a lot because I'll have more education and more knowledge of, you know, and the language. But after I came back, I went to Boston University, got my master's, and there was no longer the ship. They put it out to sea, out to pasture, as they say, and it's Project Hope. So I went back. I asked them if I could, you know, join Project Hope. They accepted me, and I worked in college with nursing students, and that was another wonderful experience. But at the same time, I always thought about, gee, I still want to be an Army nurse. And lo and behold, when I did come home from Project Hope in 1978, I didn't go right into the reserves right away. I got a job working in an inner-city school and more of like a war zone. So I guess that maybe kept me content that, you know, I could really do what I could do as a nurse, as a school nurse teacher. We started the first school-based clinic, the pregnancy program, daycare, and I really felt that I was keeping young with the kids that I was serving. And I also initiated the college that I went to school with, the University of Rhode Island. Their fourth-year nursing students came through their rotations with me and still always wanted to be an Army nurse. And in 1983, at the age of 33, I went back to my dad and I said, I want to be an Army nurse. And I think he knew at that time that I had done enough things in my life and I was ready to actually face the horrors of war.
In 1983, Colonel Luz enters into the Army Reserves and continues her journey of service.
I just really wanted to go off and save the soldiers. Of course, in 1983, there was not a war going on, but right after that, there was an incident that happened overseas, and I knew that I had made the right decision that in Beirut, they came into a bomb, an IED. They came in, and a lot of soldiers were killed and Marines, and I said, this is where I want to stay. I want to stay in the military. you probably say, what's a public health nurse during in Iraq? But that was my whole background, public health. And in the Army, I have three MOSs, medical surgical nursing, but I am not that type of nurse. I actually have a specialty, public health and psych. And they already had a soldier. He was a lieutenant colonel that was a psychiatric nurse. So they said, Sue, your whole life has been public health. But, you know, in public health, you can do both, psych and public health. So I took care of the soldiers. I kept them healthy, made sure they came into the hospital, into the clinic, if they had that swollen ankle, got their shots. And at the time when we were there, the big anthrax campaign was going on. And I was involved with the whole of Iraq, getting people, you know, vaccinated. But basically, I would go out to all the different units and say, come on in. I think that, you know, you need to see somebody. You got a bad cold there. How can you fight out in the war if you're sick? But also, I had another job there. I took care of the expectants, someone that was going to pass away. You know, we had quite a few mass casualties, and I was the one that would take care of them. And I always said, how did I ever get that job? And they said, well, you're not a hospital nurse. Can't work in the emergency room. You can't work in intensive care. And I remember telling my boss, why me? And he said, who better than you, Susan? You've loved your soldiers. You've always been a compassionate, kind person. And, you know, who better would to hold their hand until they passed on? And that would be the Iraqi civilians, Iraqi soldiers, and, yes, even the terrorists. That, you know, because as nurses, we may think different about, you know, our patient, but we don't treat them any differently when we take care of them.
Shortly after arriving in Iraq, a mortar attack brings in mass casualties, including a fellow nurse. Colonel Luz discusses her feelings on life and why she was not afraid in the war zone.
I think my whole life I've been getting ready for this deployment to Iraq. I was deployed in 91. I didn't end up in the Persian Gulf. I ended up actually in Germany delivering babies and also doing part-time work in the psych ward. But actually back then, PTSD, no one wanted to talk about it. Now the Army, the veterans hospitals have really pushed the need for, you know, soldiers coming back. That they have problems, and we encourage them to talk about it. So as a morale officer, I'm Irish. I love that party, and I always felt that if my, you know, we saw a lot of bad things during the day. We had a lot of, you know, soldiers die in our watch, and I had, as a person who took care of the expectants, die in my arms, and I said, you know what, by having a cookout, a movie night, we're not, you know, making, we brought ourselves together, we were a family, and because I know probably people going by were laughing, having music, but when we heard the helicopters going overhead, we knew it was time to run up to the hospital and we could take care of our patients. And I, yes, was like a clinger. I've watched MASH my whole life, and we are a MASH unit. It's a little bit different than active duty, but I felt that those soldiers in the hospital, especially the ones that were out in the thick of things eating MREs, they needed a good steak, a hot dog. And, yes, I was a morale officer. Someone said to me, you must have got that because you're a full-bird colonel. I said, oh, no, because when I was a first lieutenant, I could get anything I want because I love people. And if people know that you really care about your soldiers, they're going to give you anything. Of course, I bartered with them because of HBO. They would send me a lot of tapes, their DVDs on the Banner Brothers and all the things that were on HBO. So I also bottomed with those, but that's okay. Our soldiers, you know, we were a family, and they will always be my family, especially my band of sisters I was with in Iraq. I always say I think I love the younger kids, and I feel young because, you know, most of the active duty and the reservists I serve with are young kids, you know, young. They're not kids, but they're young females and males, and I really felt that. Because of my experiences in Brazil, I couldn't have children. They were my children. So I really never had the fear of dying. I know that I almost died that night in Brazil, and I was meant to be there. And that mortar attack happened like 4 days into when we landed in Mosul. That was my replacement. But the public health nurse and the preventive medicine specialist, Tara Edmondson, you know, they were going to take us all around the camp, and she got hit, but luckily she made it out to launch through Germany. She survived. And I actually knew when I went to the bunker that first night when that mass casualty happened that, yeah, something could happen, but God was with me during the time in Brazil. He's always been with me, especially, you know, I tell the story. I have three nephews that are terminally ill with cystic fibrosis. My nephew, right before I left, got a lung transplant, and I just said to myself, God is going to take care of us all. Unfortunately, not everybody comes back, but, You know, those guys, especially that stay behind, those will always be my heroes. Just like my husband's cousin, Brian. He was a Marine. He was killed 2 months before I left for Iraq. He was 22, and it was his second tour. And I hated to leave because my best friend, Donna, who was in the Peace Corps with me, lo and behold, her son, her only son, was in Mosul with a cavalry out of Fort Bliss. So everything was meant to be. I was meant to be there, and I knew once I got there, there was nothing going to stop me from going home. I broke my arm. Actually, my sergeant broke my arm for me, my female sergeant. She always tells the story when she gets home. She said, I broke the colonel's arm, and she, you know, but she's such a sweetheart. She didn't mean to, but even then when they wanted to send me back to the rear to recuperate, it was in, right before we left to come home, and I had 8 weeks in a cast, and there was no way you were getting me home. I needed to be with my soldiers. They were my family. They were my strength, and the book that I wrote is when they came to me to, you know, write the book, I said, I don't even use a computer. He's a full-blood colonel, but I can talk. And I just felt that if I was going to write a book, I was going to write about all the heroes I've known throughout my life, starting from my dad. And especially, like I said, the heroes that we left behind in Iraq.
When Colonel Luz returns home, she reflects on her deployment, the friends she lost, and her life of service.
On my way back, I gave up my seat in first class because as I yelled back to all my friends, and I always have the bad habit. I'm not the best officer, as they say. I always call people by their first names, and then I have to remember, you got to act like an officer. I came back, and I said, hey, listen, who's the tallest guy in the back? And it was one of my enlisted kids, and I said, go up there. They're not serving anything, so I'm Irish. So they all had a big laugh and everything because that kid was almost like 6'6", and he had long legs. But I would always do that, put my soldier first, because my father taught me that. He said, whatever you do, he said, when you go in the Army, he said, the enlisted do all the work, the NCO run the Corps, and I followed my father's lead, you know, because when he was in the Battle of the Bulge, he was awarded the Silver Star. We never talked about it, but I knew that he really took care of his troops, too. And that's what I wanted to do. So I felt very proud of myself coming back. Not because proud, because, I did a good job. I just feel like I was able to do something to serve my country. And all the tours I've had, I never really felt this, not satisfaction, but like I really felt on going home that I was at peace, that I had made a difference, just like in the Peace Corps. But I'm just proud to be an American veteran and have served my country. I've done, you know, a few interviews since I came back, and I always say, you know, why are you interviewing me? There's other people that had better stories, but I think it's probably because my father was the famous Banner Brothers and everything, but I don't like to, I wear that bronze star. It's not my bronze star. It's my that's bronze star is for my soldiers. And like I said, my first soldier that died, that came in, he was already passed away. He was killed in an IED attack. I thought it was Lieutenant Mannion, my best friend's son, because of the red hair. And I remember my specialist Tice saying to me, Colonel Luz, that's not Chris. I was so relieved. But at the same time, Sergeant Brent Dunkelberger, Chris's good friend, had passed away. And I said, I just really feel that that's why I was there, to take care of these soldiers. And I will never forget them. And on Memorial Day, I was a Grand Marshal, and I did the keynote speech for Memorial Day. I always knew what it meant before, but I will always remember the soldiers. And Specialist Grimm, who died a month later, he told me, he was in that same car, and he said, I'm going to die. And I said, no, you're not going to die. It's going to be okay. And then he and three other soldiers were killed. And then I beat myself up then because I said, you shouldn't be telling the soldiers that. But no, I'm positive. I've always been that way, even in Brazil. I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor. And I will always make my soldiers feel, no matter what happens, ups and downs, you have to keep going ahead, because there's always somebody out there that is, you know, worse off than you. And just make each day like, and not like it's your last, but I love life, and my parents were the ones who taught me that. And should I live to be 100, I would want every day of my life to be more perfect. And it's because the people that I'm surrounded with, my wonderful family, my husband, who, you remember, I was over there for 16 months, but it's the families that stay behind. I wouldn't be there if it wasn't for my family that helped, you know, support my being there. And I think a lot of times people forget that. And, they always say the hero's welcome, but I always think of the families that I came home to. They're the real heroes, because they took over all the chores that while we were away. I'm going to miss the Army, but I'm not going to ever be away from the Army. I still have my friends that will be my second family for life. And the VA hospital, women vets don't utilize the VA, and I hope now that I'm going to try to get in there and try to stir up some stuff like I always do. As they say, my husband's of the Irish, we always want to mix it up. But I think that if they see me, that I wasn't a hero, but I served in a company of her heroes. And I'm just proud to be a NAMI, a military nurse. And, you know, in the book, I read the book and I said, wow, that's me. And it's like the Jimmy Stewart character, It's a Wonderful Life. I truly believe I made a difference in other people's life. And as I look back on my career, I've cared for a lot of patients, but not all my patients were brave soldiers who died for their country. It's the military soldier. It's those patients I remember the most, especially the ones who, like I said, died in my arms. God bless them and all my military friends, nurses, all the soldiers that I serve with. As you know, I'm talking a lot because I'm Irish, but I can't say that I am so proud to have served my country in all the things I've done in my life, but most importantly, in the military. I just hope that I always tried to do my best, and I never forgot why I was in the military and why I became a nurse, and that was to help the soldier, and we saved a lot of lives over there.
Colonel Susan Luz has dedicated her life to serving others. From working with troubled teens to caring for our military men and women, Colonel Luz has touched many lives, and we thank her for her extraordinary service.
This has been Veterans Chronicles, produced by Radio America and the American Veterans Center in association with Pelcom Communications.